This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Boat Trader, America's largest boating marketplace, offering easy financing and over 100,000 boat listings to choose from. Sell, find, and finance new or used boats on America's largest boating marketplace. Visit BoatTrader.com to get started.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. Real quick before we dive into this episode, I just want to give out a big thank you for making some of these episodes happen that are coming out from the ATA show in Louisville, Kentucky. Rubline Marketing, Chase Rawlson, Big Mike, the whole crew, thank you so much. All the guys from On the Road Outdoors, JC Hall, Aaron Lewis, thank you so much for taking the time to record this episode. Everyone else that swung by and hung out, we got a lot more episodes coming out from that show, a lot of big episodes. And we got to thank our title sponsor of the Working Class Bowhunter, Scent Crusher, scentcrusher.com. A lot of new things coming this year yet from Scent Crusher. Keep an eye out for that. HHA Sports, been a supporter for us since shit almost the beginning. Scott Bakken's been great, one of our good friends. Absolutely love those sites. Single Pin Nation, lifetime warranty, you can't beat it. Also, Elite Archery, the R35 is out. We got to shoot that at the show. It's incredible. The Ritual's good. The R35 is right in my wheelhouse. I like a longer ATA bow, and that is that thing is money. Also, big time, big thanks to them, Joe Humphreys, for letting us record some shows in their booth. That episode is coming soon with Greg Ritz. Other than that, I just want to dive right into this episode, and we hope you guys enjoy. If you wouldn't mind giving it a share, telling your friends about it, give us a rating on iTunes, just show some love. This is one of the bigger episodes we've done, one of our bigger guests, of course, and we're a little nervous. Well, I guess I can't speak for everyone else. I was a little nervous. You see these guys that you kind of, you picture them a certain way in your head, and then when you got these legends of the industry, even the music industry sitting in front of you, it's a pretty crazy feeling. So you can kind of imagine what that'd be like. So we hope you enjoy the episode, and show us some love if you would. Thank you.
I'm Chase Rawlson with Rubline Marketing.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey everybody, it's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey guys, this is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Munt from Bone Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Blackman.
Working Class Bowhunter.
Working Class Bowhunter.
Working Class Bowhunter Podcast.
Working Class Bowhunter Podcast.
Working Class Bowhunter.
Working Class Bowhunter.
Working Class Bowhunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bowhunter. That's right, this is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T. Bone Turner from The Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
Nobody pushes the envelope like Working Class Bowhunter.
Hey, this is Jules McQueen, and you are listening to the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast.
It's really, really not that good.
And 3, 2, 1.
Hey guys, this is the Working Class Bowhunter video podcast. We are right here at the 2019 ATA show. We've got a huge table and a full crew. I'm Steve. There's Kurt.
Hi.
Eric.
How's it going?
Got the boys from On the Road Hunting and Aaron Lewis, who is part of them too. I just.
Yeah.
Want to throw you guys in there. I was trying to figure out what.
My name's in the title.
It is. It's right in the title. You know.
Actually, my name is not in the title.
Well, no, it's not.
I wonder,
well, how'd that work out? I just, got the short end of the stick there, huh?
It's fine.
There's no stick.
It's not like a hat on, you know?
Just told what it's going to be, right?
I mean, you got a great name.
I show up until they tell me I can't.
Absolutely fantastic name. It should be in Steve? The title. I'm just throwing it out there.
You know, he's like one of those, you know, those ugly brooch pins that your grandmother used to wear on her
on her sweater.
Her little lapel.
That's a big brooch pin.
Well, thanks, guys, for doing this. Appreciate it, taking the time out. You guys played a show last night at PBR down here in Louisville. And that was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
We all got pretty tore up. That's what happens when you have a open bar and a lot of beer drinkers, and Steve got on the old mechanical bull, which was awfully embarrassing. So thank you.
It was
for
quite feminizing.
Yeah. Yeah. Worst part was I had my shirt off. I don't know what came over me, but
wow.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I guess I missed some things last night.
Yeah, it's probably a good thing, man.
Yeah,
and I now completely understand why you went home alone.
Oh, yeah, well, man.
Well, a shirt off on the bull. That's totally a chick magnet. Total chick magnet.
But why didn't it work?
It never really plays out for you anyway, though, man. Being
never,
honest,
never.
That whole dad bot thing is really just a lie.
Probably because I look like a tubby Arn Anderson. I don't think that's getting to the ladies.
That's awesome. Well, let's talk about On the Road Outdoors. Just discuss it a little bit and where people can watch it, and then we'll just like fire off from there to whoever wants to go.
You go.
Why?
Okay.
I haven't heard your voice in my ears yet.
Well, On the Road Outdoors, we air on the Sportsman's Channel currently and Discovery Channel. We air three times a week on Sportsman's and Saturday mornings on Discovery. But 2019, things are looking to change for us a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to still be on Sportsman's Channel, but we're looking to probably grow to the Outdoor Channel.
Oh, cool. Awesome. Oops.
See, I wouldn't have been able to answer that. Why did you throw that to me?
Oh, by the way, we had a meeting yesterday.
Just so you know. I know your name's in the title, but you should probably tell you this stuff.
Steve's now the star of the show. That's how that meeting went.
So then you guys are on My Outdoor TV, I'm assuming, and people can stream it.
Yes, sir. You have Digo that carries it. Mm-hmm. And we also are on Carbon TV.
Oh, awesome.
Which is an app that you can go on.
Yeah, yep, this is being filmed for Carbon, so perfect. It works out.
Carbon episode. Yeah, so you can get us right there.
Yeah. Awesome. Perfect.
All of our prior seasons on there now, and they upload it. Once we tweak the shows that have aired,
right,
then we can put it on there.
Oh, cool. That's awesome. How many seasons in are you guys?
Eight.
We're filming. We just finished filming season 7. So
no shit, man. You guys are getting after it. So where? I mean, season's winding down all over. I'm sure you guys got more stuff planned. But where have you gone for this season, filming everything? I mean,
this was a freaking A+ season.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But there's a lot of bone on the ground this season.
Yeah,
I mean, y'all both got an elk.
Yep.
I didn't get an elk because my name's not in the title, so I don't get an elk.
It's tough out here, man. It's tough. I didn't get an elk either. I went to Colorado.
That's a big budget item.
Yeah, he gets the squirrel hunt episode.
I get garholed a lot, but the funny thing is the garholes they put me in, I usually kill.
Atta boy.
So it's very unplanned kills.
So that would kind of negate the whole garhole thing.
It's not really exactly. Garhole then, is
see,
it?
If you're the low man on the totem pole, like I'm the low man on the totem pole, but man, that's the strongest because without that strong base, that pole would collapse. So I feel you, brother.
God, I love the way you said that.
Yeah, like that.
Steve. We just became best friends.
There's kind of like
best
a romantic connection going on over here.
There's
in the
a little bromance over there.
Steve's
there?
About to take
I'm,
his shirt
I'm
off.
I'm telling you, it stems from the shirtless mechanical bowler.
That's what
maybe I need to start taking some testosterone.
So should we just do the rest of the show with our shirts off?
Okay.
No, don't do that. Let's say you did, but don't
tempt them. Don't tempt
them. Photoshop that in.
Where'd you guys kill your elk at?
Chama, New Mexico.
Oh, awesome.
Mexico. At the Quinlan Ranch.
Awesome. How cool big place. Can I ask that? I'm sure we'll be able to see it if you don't want to tell and give it away. But
mine's, 340s.
Yeah. That's awesome.
It's a good bull, yeah.
So it's a good chama bull. For
yeah,
sure.
Man, for sure.
Mine was 350s.
You know. Had to one-up them a little bit.
Well, I kind of had the 344. Kind of had the advantage that I got to use a rifle because I had to go later in the year than he did. So he killed his with his bow. So
But doesn't rifle drop at like 40 points? So, you know, or
something like that.
There's a handicap.
I don't know the rules of how you guys work. I'm just
something like that.
Just asking.
That's awesome. Yeah, I went to Colorado for public land elk, and I was just striving for a legal bull at that point. So I didn't see anything. You know, I didn't see an elk at all. Actually, wildfires and all that came through, which kind of fucked us and cut our hunt short. But it was still awesome. But I can imagine like having even a 300-inch bull or like a 280 bull like right at Pope and Young screaming in your face with a bow would just be insane.
When I went, it was when the migration was coming through, and there were elk that were coming off of the mountain going to the winter grounds, and they were freaking everywhere.
Really?
I've never seen that many elk.
The entire migration that comes out of the Rocky Mountains and down into the lowland below Chama all go through that ranch.
No shit.
Damn. I mean, they all
just herds
of hundreds of them at a time coming through. Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome.
And he got to be there when there was snow on the ground to actually see the evidence of how many animals are moving through at night, even.
No shit, just tore up.
Just a path.
Wow, yeah, I've never seen that. I guess I never really thought about that. So, yeah, I guess if you're lucky to have a ranch that falls in that migration, you're in the money right there.
Yep. And
that's cool.
And, you know, they called us and said, hey, the migration is on. We got our first big snow. If you can get out here, we know we can get you on one quick. And sure enough, the first morning, bam.
Oh, that's awesome. Wow. Is that a hunt?
That's bonus. Because the September time frame when you're going out there and bugling for them and everything, that's phenomenal, too.
Right.
And then come November, the whole migration comes down through. So it's second chances.
Dang, that's awesome. I got to get through there and check that out one of these days. Then is that something you guys are going to do every year then, you think?
We elk hunt pretty much every year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to tell you the funnest time, though, is when Aaron got to go, when you get to bugle and you call him in and stuff. There's something to say about having that animal come in 15, 20 yards from you, just sitting there, and the smoke coming out of their nose and blowing at you. And
they're insane. It's almost like when I was elk hunting, too, it's just like it's crazy the different country from whitetail hunting. It really just blows your mind when you get out there. It's so big, and you just realize, like, the animals are so big, and to have one that close to you on the ground is incredible. It's all cool. All bow hunting is cool, but to have an elk like that in your face is just – it's almost like the creatures are made up if you look at them. They're just insane, you know?
Well, after going this year, I will make – there's a definite purchase that I'm going to make before I go next year.
Mm-hmm.
You know it's a little teeny bitty, has a strap on it, makes oxygen machine that they've got now for old people.
CPAP?
No, it's not. But it's this little, it sucks in air and doubles the oxygen in it.
Oh, no shit.
So there's no tanks, there's no anything on it, but it's just this little deal. Throw it right in your backpack, pull the thing for them.
Oh, shit. Stick them in your nose and go.
And have ultra oxygen when you're 8,000 feet and up.
We had the canisters. And then you just take a hit of oxygen, and some of the guys we're with are from out west, so they're used to it. Me and my dad are flatlanders, so we get to the top of the mountain and pull off that. I'm like, I kind of feel like a bitch hitting this in front of these western guys.
I will full on man up and put that oxygen maker on and have those tubes up in my nose and be totally cool with it.
And be happy and have oxygen,
be able to breathe.
Keep you from feeling sick. And then, it's like, it's crazy how you can't recover if there's no air there.
And there's just, it's
pulling tanks.
It's so noticeable. Like, we spot and stalked a bear that ended. It's all on video.
Mm-hmm.
How did it end, Aaron?
Well, it ended with a spectacular miss.
I got to see the arrow still in the tree.
at 30 yards with a bear that was, you know, 400 plus. Just a monster black bear.
Damn.
It was like a VW bug sitting in front of me.
That's awesome.
And we stalked all the way across this wide open field, and there was no incline. We weren't doing uphill anything, and just
walking,
being crouched down, I was completely out of breath. I couldn't breathe.
Mm-hmm. And that adrenaline going.
And the adrenaline and everything else. Yeah. But. Yeah. Man, I got to 30 yards before I stepped out into where the bear could actually see me and know that I was there.
Mm-hmm.
And when he looked back at me and realized I was there, and I glanced over my shoulder, and my guide had his gun drawn already and was already aiming in the direction of the bear just in case it went wrong, because right. there's a 50-50 right there.
Right, yeah. For sure. Yeah.
It's a wild animal.
There's
you never
a 50-50. You're already up, you're inside his comfort zone.
Yeah.
You're 30 yards from him. He can cover that in less than a second.
You're in that fight or flight zone if something happens.
So it's a 50-50. He's either going to feel that arrow hit him and take off, or he's going to feel the arrow hit him and look for the closest thing around him.
And then you're done.
Which is you.
Right.
Yeah.
So when I finally shot and let go of the arrow and hit the tree and he ran off, I crumbled. I've played shows in front of 200,000 plus people at some of these huge European festivals that I've done in my career. Mm-hmm. Nothing even close. The adrenaline rush when you walk out on stage and all those people cheer when you walk. Not even close.
Mm-hmm.
I've never felt adrenaline course through my veins like that doing anything else.
Man, that's such a lot.
I've never jumped out of an airplane.
Right.
But I would have to think that would probably be what I would have to do in order to match what I felt. Man. When I stepped out from behind that tree and that bear could see me for the first time.
Well, and that's why I tell people that don't hunt. I'm like, I wish you could just witness that adrenaline one time.
Yeah,
when you have that 165-inch deer at 10 yards, you know, your heart's pounding.
Yeah. You're hearing him breathe. You're hearing him sniff the air and, like, you're that freaking close.
See his breath coming out. You know, it's like, it's insane feeling.
The elk that I killed, we have him on video for over a minute. You can hear him slurping water out of the water hole that he's hit.
Right.
That's insane. Yeah, people don't realize, like, that hunting can add that sort of adrenaline rush. They think, you're just shooting a bow or a gun or whatever. But the way you said, like, you know, playing in front of 200,000 people, that's insane to put that in perspective, because I wouldn't want to get up in front of those people. I feel like that would be way worse.
I'd shit my bridges, man.
Yeah, I would. But that puts it in perspective, you know, because people
not
don't
even
like.
Close.
Yeah, that's insane.
Not
like,
even
putting
close.
It that way. But, you know, think a brown bear. If you were 10 foot from a brown bear or, you know, 30 yards, it would be. That's horrifying.
I want to.
Yeah.
I want
to. Is that on the books yet?
Spot and stock. As long as it's spot and stock, as long as I'm not hunting over a bait pile, as long as I'm actually, you know,
right,
yeah,
with
I'm
a bow,
in. I'm in. My guide's always going to have a very high power something.
You got you.
Yeah. right there with me. So you know, there's always.
I did a bear hunt 3-4 years ago in Alaska.
That monster.
And the first day, just sitting on the riverbank. That is the time of year where they're feeding really heavy on the salmon before they go and hibernate. That first day, I saw 16 different bear.
Oh, shit.
And I waited.
That's insane.
Yeah, and day three, when this one came out and his pecker was dragging the ground, you could see the big arch in it. I'm like, if that sucker comes, it's going to be his turn. He got to 19 yards from me. I was full draw. He turned and looked at me. And, you know, when you can just feel an animal looking
he's like, looking through your soul.
That wants to kill you.
He turned, looked at me, squared up with me, stared me eye to eye.
Oh, shit.
Then turned around like, whatever. I'm going to eat some fish.
Uh-huh.
And then I released the arrow, and that sucker did that double spin and ran
off. Took off.
And when he did that double spin, that was when I was starting to freak out. I was like, holy shit, where's he going to end up running?
Right.
Oh, yeah. Did he's doing that. You don't know which direction he's going to go.
Did he look back at you at all while he was like, did he lock with you after that shot? Or no?
He did that double spin and then ran off.
Man.
It's got to be the scariest game of spin the bottle ever.
You ever see the old footage of Jack? It was like an old Jack Brittingham video where I think it was like a record brown bear at one point with a bow. It's sleeping on this moose that he, you know, killed or buried or whatever. He shoots it, and it stands up and looks right at him. And just that thought, it's like, oh, man. That thing, if it wanted to, even if it was double lung and going to die in 30 seconds.
What he can do to you in 30 seconds?
Yeah. When he gives you have a problem stance?
Yeah, you're like, oh, shit, I need to figure some stuff out.
Oh, boy. Well,
on that same trip, one of my buddies, they were in a boat, and they were drifting. They killed the motor. And they've had it on several different TV shows that they picked up. The bear was up looking down at him.
Oh.
20-something yards. He shoots from in the boat.
Oh, no shit.
Shoots that bear that's up that he could have just launched right in the boat.
With a bow?
Yeah.
Dang, dude. I don't know. Like, I like to think I'd be all about that. I think I'd take some strong mental preparation before I go shoot at a brown bear.
I don't know that there's any other situation that you can put yourself in like that other than, you know, spotting and stalking on a predator animal like that. Mm-hmm. To be the predator in that moment, but at any moment the roles could switch.
Yeah,
that is wild.
You gotta think, like, that animal weighs more than me, you, him, and him put together.
Yeah, what are they? What's like a big mature brown bear? Like
a brown bear? Brown bears 11, are the 12, giant
11,
ones.
1,200 pounds for a big,
big brown bear.
See, and, that's, you know, a black huge bear, creature. Black bear, a big black bear is what I was looking at when I came unglued.
Yeah.
That sucker.
And that's what, 400 pounds?
Four or 500.
Yeah. I mean,
so that'd be like me charging at you.
What's that?
That'd be like me charging at you.
Two of you.
But think, like, if an 80-pound German Shepherd wants to bite your hand off, it's going to. Now imagine, like, a 400-pound black bear. Like, you're not getting away, man. You're,
I took a picture of that bear.
It'll take your head clean off your shoulders with a swipe.
Yeah, no doubt.
Certainly a brown bear.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. A brown bear.
Eat whole, almost.
Could literally just take your head right off.
Here's the size of the brown bear's head. I had my hands like this on him for a picture. And then I do that, and his ears are on this side of my hand.
No way.
So that's how big that
That was how big his skull plate was in between the ears.
Between the ears, that big.
Wow.
And, that's insane. And
what is it, number two, or was it number?
He was either number two or number three. I didn't officially put him in the record.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, he was 10 foot, 1 1/4 inches.
Holy shit.
But he measured as far as for his length.
Right.
And it goes from nose to tail.
That's regulation NBA basketball hoop size.
Yeah.
Just put in perspective. I couldn't dunk on that bear if he was standing up.
And his skull, they measured the length this way and this way, and it was just over 29 inches.
Oh, wow.
Across.
Yeah, I'm a measure for Pope and Young, so I've measured some bear skulls, and, like, I don't know what Pope and Young is for, I can't remember, for, like, a brown bear. It's in, like, 22, isn't it? So you're way the hell up in there. Yeah. And
that's huge.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah, when I saw him come out, he was
leaving footprints and a zigzag pecker line from dragging his dick.
So instead of big swinging dick, he was the big dragon dick of the forest.
That's right.
Let's get back to my squirrel hunt, guys.
Yeah. Enough about these awesome bears.
So when you saw that squirrel over that acorn pile.
I got nervous, man.
Did he come at you, man, after you shot?
It was a pissy little son of a bitch.
That is record bushing.
Was his dick dragging in the snow, too?
No, he had a set of nuts on him, and you wouldn't believe it.
That's awesome.
Aaron, I've been jealous of a squirrel or two.
The ratio.
What was that one CD cover? I forget who it was. Like Outrage, or they had that squirrel with a huge set of nuts on it. That was the CD cover for a long time. I was back in high school, so that was like ways back.
In the 80s.
It was a little bit back there.
Well, Aaron, I know everyone knows your music and all that, and when you go out, most people
everyone should.
If they don't, they
we
better.
Started
yeah.
a count.
Yeah, they better. Yeah,
we literally started a count this morning on how many times he gets stopped to have a picture taken.
Have a clicker?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I need to use my. I don't have a clicker, but we need to use something because we were in here for less than 5 minutes and it was 4 stops.
That's insane.
Awesome. Well, thanks for getting out of that to come talk to a bunch of idiots.
It's fun. It's so fun.
Us dipshits.
So they're talking. He's like, "Oh man, that's a mistake."
Yeah, it's so fun. I love.
Well, where I was going is, like, you're in the mainstream media. Like, everyone knows you, which, you know, like you said, super fun. If people don't know you're a hunter and they find that out, like, what's their reaction usually? Do you have a lot of negative, or is it pretty, like, understanding, or like, oh, that's awesome? I mean, most people know now because you talk about it and all that, but.
You would think, but I'll tell you what, every time I post some sort of, you know, smiling with the animal that I've been lucky enough to harvest. Mm-hmm. Boy, those tree hugging liberals
come out of the woodwork.
Come out of the woodwork. Like, I don't even know where they come from. They can't be a fan of the music that I make.
I was just wondering that if you get a lot of like negativity towards that, or if people are surprised, or you know what I mean, but. I would expect you're going to get some negative attention from it, but
No, I get all the hate just like everybody else does. Yeah. I get all the haters just like everybody else does. How high was the fence he was inside?
Oh, yeah.
That awesome stuff, too. And you know, whatever,
don't you love that?
Dude.
I think people on the outside of the industry or just viewers of shows are bitter because they wish they could do some of the shit that guys on TV and whatever get to do. And I don't think they realize, because you don't see everything, like the hard work, like lack
well,
of oxygen climbing
the
mountain.
It's about the land. It's about the land that
that's
you
right.
have
yeah.
to
yeah,
hunt.
It is, too.
The
yeah.
reason that we all kill bigger animals is because we've got the whole country to work with, mm-hmm. and we've found good ground where there's big animals, and we yeah. don't kill the little ones.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You gotta
we be
watch them go by and enjoy experiencing that interaction with nature. And,
yeah. Yeah.
And watch their behavior and watch what they do and take mental notes.
Right,
and,
right.
And look forward to seeing that deer the next year.
Yeah. It's a kind of like it's a building process in order to kill mature animals.
Yeah, tell you what, you want to kill big deer, wait till a mature deer comes walking in, and you'll kill big deer every time you kill an animal.
Mm-hmm,
you
right.
might not kill one every year.
Yeah, and that's I think people have a hard time. They would rather just shoot something, just
shoot,
to shoot
a doe.
Something. Right.
Yeah. Shoot a doe, they eat better anyway.
Right,
<That's>
right. No doubt.
That's right.
But, that's a super common thing, and we talk about it so often, and it's a fairly common thing to talk about, like, you know, let the little ones go. But still, I don't know if it's ever going to go away. But there's just that like group of people that just don't ever get it.
Oh,
you know?
Listen, I grew up doing deer drives and brushes.
Right.
And
the deer hunting it, American tradition type
if,
stuff. Yeah.
If it's brown, it's down.
Yep. Which is cool too. Sometimes
everybody
you know?
Had a tag. Everybody had a doe tag, so everybody was covered. If you saw deer hair in your scope, you pulled the trigger.
Right, right.
That was just how it was.
Right. Yeah.
I think that's how a lot.
How
of people
nobody
grew
got
up.
Shot. I'll never know.
Yeah. I mean, that's how most people grew up hunting, you know. That's
how,
the tradition of
that's
it.
That's how
really.
I was. Hey, go stand behind that tree.
Well, yeah,
the
drivers are pushing towards you in the direction shooting. That you're going to shoot.
A high-powered rifle.
Or they're shooting at you.
Or they're shooting at you as yeah. they're driving that's because like, they're driving towards you.
You right. hear a bullet and you find a tree or you hit the dirt, one of the two.
I've done a few like deer drives when I was younger, but then I just got so like into bow hunting that it just became like unappealing after
yeah,
a while.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
But I get that some people like to do that, and it is effective.
Listen, we still do it at the end of the year yeah. when it's muzzleloader season, and
sure.
and it's the end of the year. The way Massachusetts is, the last 2 weeks of the season from you know like the I think it's the 15th or something mm-hmm. of December through December 31st is the last day of season. There is no January mm-hmm. in Mass.
Mm-hmm.
So that last 2 weeks, it's muzzleloader.
Yeah.
And everybody goes back to
the traditional,
you know, traditional way of doing it.
At right.
The bow hunters have all done their bow hunting all through the archery season, and they've mm-hmm. switched over to shotgun because we don't have rifle.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
You can hunt for any other animal in the state of Massachusetts with a rifle. Any other animal. Except a deer.
Really? That's kind of how Illinois yeah. is.
That's how Iowa is,
how do you feel
is,
about
too.
That? Are you a big rifle guy? Or
I'm a bow guy for
yeah.
the most part. Do I think it's a little odd that you can use a rifle for bear, you can use a rifle for coyotes, you can mm-hmm. use a rifle for anything else that you might hunt in the state of Massachusetts, but when it comes to deer, it's limited to shotgun and muzzleloader.
That's how Iowa yeah. is too. You can't
Illinois
use
is the same.
Yeah,
Illinois is the same.
You can use a rifle for coyotes or anything, any time of the day. But
yeah, you could kill a coyote with a damn grenade in Illinois.
Yeah, right.
No, everyone's all right with it, but you know, yeah. it's just one of those things.
I'd like to see some ear protection bills passed.
Yes.
Yes.
And
for
some,
kids and stuff
some
like that too.
Reciprocal, you know, if you have gone through the full. You know, I've been through the same vetting one time through that Brett Kavanaugh got put through seven times. I have been fully FBI, NCIC cleared and searched in order to get my all lawful purposes licensed to carry a concealed weapon
mm-hmm.
because the state of Massachusetts is insane
mm-hmm.
as far as what you have to do to get it.
To get that permit.
So I've been through a full FBI search. Why does that not now cover me for the whole United States?
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
another state isn't going to put me through more than that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Massachusetts has some of the most rigorous loops and hoops that you have to jump through in order to get it.
Illinois is probably not far behind, you know.
So, you know, if I've gone through that, why would my, you know, handgun permit not be reciprocal through all of the United States?
Mm-hmm.
And the suppressor thing, when I, you know, the ear thing, that's just dumb.
Yeah.
It doesn't make a gun silent. It's not a silencer.
It's all just people who don't fucking know anything that
the
DB control
down.
It, you know.
Right.
Yeah, they've been watching too many movies where I think it's like, pew, pew.
Yeah, it's not, it's not what you see on
we're not
television.
Playing, we're not playing GoldenEye here, you know. It's just, I think a lot of it's misinformation, and people get into places of power politics-wise, and they just don't know shit, you know. And they're making laws, like, you know, we talk about it a lot. In Illinois, most of our hunting laws are created by people who live in apartment, you know, like not apartment buildings, but in the inner
city. They're
not
hunters.
They're not hunters. They don't get it, but they make the laws for us to live. And I think that's one of the things that really hurts us is trying to be as free Americans. Like, we know what we're doing. They tell us we don't. They don't know a thing about what we're doing. So it's just, you know, what do?
It drives you nuts.
You know?
I don't know. Taking the high road doesn't seem to be working, though.
No.
They don't take the high road.
No, they get dirty with that shit.
They don't take the high road at all, and yet we keep taking the high road over and over and over and over again, and they win every single time by not taking the high road. And you know, what are we supposed to do at this point?
Yeah, I mean, that's
you know, what are we supposed to do when there's 2,000 liberally driven voters every single day coming over our border from Mexico? Who are they going to vote for?
Yeah.
Are they going to vote for the people that are giving them $70,000 a year worth of support? Or are they going to vote for the people that think that they should be here legally, that they should assimilate, that they should get a job
and work for
and work for a living? Who are they going to vote for?
Exactly.
They're going to vote for the those that are giving them all of this for nothing.
Yeah, of course. And it's just going to keep getting worse, too.
So if you really get down to it, 2,000 of their voters are pouring over that border every single day.
Yeah.
Why in the world would they want to close the border?
Right. That's scary.
Especially when they just got woken up as to how many of us
there are.
Yeah. For real.
We just put Donald Trump in office, the last person in the world anybody on the face of this earth ever would have thought, would have become our president.
Yeah. It's a changing political landscape, and
it's
interesting. I mean, you know, I do think that more information, I think people are starting to wake up a little bit. It's, you know, hey, we're in this age now where we can make a difference. And I think people really are starting. That was a statement with putting Trump in office. Nobody wanted to keep the same politics. It was like, are we going to vote for a lifelong politician or another lifelong politician? No, we're going to get someone who's sane and doing. I mean, he's doing what he's saying. He said he was going to do, and people are upset, but it's like he said he was going to do it, and he did it.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think that, you know, everybody's like, they love, I think that the best thing about Trump is he was not a politician, and it was a change, and, you know, I think we're starting to realize that we just got to get these lifelong politicians out because it's not doing the American people any good anymore. That's my personal opinion.
Swamp, baby. So
if someone thinks anything different.
No,
By all means.
Totally agree.
Yep. So turkey season's coming up.
I know. I was like sitting there. I'm like, how do I bounce back out of
turkey
this?
Turkey season's coming up.
Yeah. Get it, yeah. Where are you guys going for turkeys?
Turkey season and turkey hunting, you know, 20, 25-pound animals, almost as fun as the elk I was talking about in September.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you get to call
the same animal.
Yeah, you get to call
kind of.
I always refer to elk as, you know, 1,000-pound turkeys. Yeah. It's the same. They interact the same.
Yeah,
it's the same.
And you're either the hen trying to get the gobbler to come in to get him some, and then you take him out, or another gobbler that he's coming to fight.
Yeah. Finding where they're sleeping, go to bed, come back and hit them, you know, when they're coming off the bed or, you know, roost or whatever, you know, it's the same.
It's the same interaction. It's the interaction. It's the ability to be able to call them in, to talk to them, to speak their language and bring them to you.
And that one hunt that you had in Indiana this past year where those four toms came in. where when you had that new life decoy, you know, our lifelike decoy.
We all got these decoys. Mine's Tommy.
Named them all.
Tommy is an actual taxidermist makes these.
He mounts turkeys.
And he mounts the turkey on this super lightweight, high-density air foam as the body. And so the whole turkey is a real turkey, except for the head, because he found that freeze-dried heads only lasted one season. They got decimated because turkeys come in and kick the shit out of this decoy.
That's awesome.
Does it hold up?
And if they freaking see it, they're coming. They can't. They can't not.
Right.
The fan.
The
whole thing is rubber band mounted. And there's a rubber band that comes down from the chest down to an arm that comes off the post that you're sticking into the ground. So that's one rubber band, and it goes straight up and down this way. And then you have a fishing line that runs through from the front underneath and comes up to the back and grabs a hold of the fan.
Oh, gotcha,
which
man.
Is rubber band mounted to the back of the turkey to keep it up.
Right.
So when you pull on the fishing line, the turkey turns, and then when that rubber band won't stretch any further, the string keeps pulling and it drops the fan.
Oh no shit! So
and you can like kind of half let it back up and right. do all this shit, and then when you let him go, he goes and he turns back around and they can't.
They go nuts.
Oh, I bet that's gotta be awesome.
Four birds came from 500 yards across a wide open field in a gallop. Who was going to get there first? All four of them came in, circled that thing, and kicked the shit out of it for a good minute and a half before they finally kind of moved over to here to where me and Josh could shoot a double.
That's awesome.
It's a very expensive fight.
Yeah. Oh, I bet it was. But there's no feathers left on that thing.
You can hear in the camera, don't let him get the decoy.
That was before it was John Avoy.
That wasn't my decoy. That was Chuck's decoy.
That's awesome. Where are you guys going for turkeys this season?
We go everywhere. We've got places in – We're going to start off in Texas.
South Texas is one of the earliest seasons.
Oh, okay.
Either there or Florida.
Have you guys ever gotten a slam?
Yeah. I would assume if they got all the states. I was thinking.
We were fantasizing trying to do a 24-hour Grand Slam because he has the plane.
Yeah, so we could.
And we were trying to figure out how to logistically do it. We would have to start in Florida for the Osceola and then have a real short hop for the Eastern and like have somebody ahead of us who's already found the birds and located where they are.
So just run in, shoot them, and get back on the plane.
It's a real, I mean, we're talking, we've got to do it in a 24-hour period.
Yeah.
So that's a hunting day.
Jeez,
you know,
man.
Dark to dark, basically.
That's a
that would be rough.
You would have to get your Osceola straight off the tree, straight out of the roost.
Yep.
Boom,
yep.
Land. Boom.
Yeah.
Immediately out, close airport. Like there would be so much logistics involved. But we've definitely thought about trying to parachute
in at some point.
Well, I think you could probably do that. Yeah, that would be tough. Because, if it didn't happen right away, you'd be like, well, we're already done. Like, we can't do it.
Right. No, if that first morning, if we didn't kill one straight off the roost, we'd have to start again tomorrow.
I was watching some show. Some guy was trying to do a slam in, 4 days.
We could do that.
Yeah,
that would be easy.
We could do that.
I wonder what the record is for the shortest amount of time that it's for the fastest slam.
I even think a 2 day would be pretty simple.
We could totally do 2 days.
I bet that'd be a record. That'd have to be a record.
Single day would be something.
Yeah.
That would be something.
You guys could pull that off.
There's so much logistics involved to it.
The 24-hour turkey slam.
The most important part isn't even killing the four birds. It's
how do you get there?
Right.
Get there and timing.
You guys got to try.
You know, there's a lot of distance between an Osceola and a Miriam.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, there is.
A lot of distance right there, you know.
That would be incredible.
And you got to kill two turkeys in the middle of it midday.
Midday,
You'd be on the plane more than you would be hunting. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you would get to
from jumping. You'd have to be get out there, kill your turkey. Let's rock. We can act on to the next one.
Like you said, you'd have to have someone find that Merriam and know pretty much where they are. Where when you get there, you get
don't
in and call them.
JC could be a he bailed on us, but he could be.
I mean, it's. I truly do think it's doable. Like from Florida, hop right up to Georgia, or somewhere in that just vicinity, cut straight over to Texas. And then straight up to the closest Merriam's.
I bet you could look up, like, what's the fastest someone's done it. I'm sure, like, National Wild Turkey Federation's got it somewhere on a book.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, you guys would do that 24-hour thing. I don't know. That'd be tough.
Did you get the World Slam? Did you do the World?
I did it 4 or 5 years ago.
What's all in the World Slam?
Because there's two more. There's the Goulds down in Mexico, and then there's the reticulated oscillated. Oscillated. That's a
Mexico?
Jungle turkey.
Yeah, Mexico or Central America. I went.
It's a jungle turkey that looks more like a peacock.
Yeah, it's a peacock.
How'd it taste?
Good. We went. Good. Just like the other ones.
Yeah, it was nice.
Turkey. I was curious if we didn't have like a mango flavor to it.
I like where your mind is, Steve.
I'll tell you this.
We haven't talked about food yet.
These guys are just on the same wavelength.
Where we went, the food wasn't that good.
No.
We went to the jungle in Campeche. We landed there and went in for about a 3-hour ride. And
that's crazy.
Little jeeps, and you just ride around all day and look for them. They don't really respond to calls, so you literally just got to find them.
And, they gobble and everything like a normal turkey and
they
all
do,
that?
They do, but it's a...
Oh, really?
It's not like a...
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
So they have the electronic calls that they
small peacock with the voice of a pigeon.
my first,
interesting, huh?
My first closest shot opportunity, they woke me up at 1 o'clock in the morning, and they said, Pablo tree, because none of them spoke English. Uh-huh. They get me up at 1 o'clock in the morning, and we're going through the jungle looking for this turkey that they found roosted. And they wanted us to shoot it out of the tree roosted. But it ended up taking off before we got to it. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Day three, one just jumped across the road, and I just picked up and shot.
So that's an oscillated turkey?
Mm-hmm.
So what's all in it? The Merriam, Rio, Eastern, Osceola in Florida.
Goulds.
Goulds.
And the oscillated.
Okay, no, that's a whole World Slam. Doesn't New Zealand have some weird ass turkeys that I thought was in it? Maybe I'm thinking of something else, but
they have a ton of turkeys, but it's not a different species than our subspecies than the six.
Gotcha. Okay.
That's crazy.
You know, now
what did they end up with for turkeys there? Are they Easterns? Are they?
It's probably some sort of hybrid.
I don't remember. I've seen it, but I don't remember. But now you have all your hybrids. You know, like in Kansas, you have your half Rio
Eastern,
half
Merriam.
Oh yeah, a lot of northern.
There's a lot of those.
Isn't there Eastern Rio hybrids in Kansas also in certain spot where the Eastern line ends?
Yeah, so there's all three of the species and then the sub. That's actually how Aaron and I met, and our first hunt we ever did together was him finding a Merriam to finish his single slam for the year.
Yeah, my single season slam.
And
that's awesome.
We saw three or four birds
with a 20 gauge
that were hybrid.
That's cool, man. Turkey hunting's fun. I killed a Rio in Kansas, and I'm not huge on it. Killed Eastern in Illinois, and then a Rio in Kansas. But now I've done that. Like, I'd like to go to like South Dakota and get a Merriam. Like, just the pretty stereotypical Merriam.
They are the most beautiful out of all.
Yeah,
of
the most beautiful,
white,
and the funnest. The Merriams are a lot more aggressive than
they
Easterns.
Are?
So when you get out there, you know, Aaron had talked about it, but one of his favorite things is reaping turkeys. Mm-hmm. And when you get out there
such a game changer. It used to be, damn it, that bird is freaking henned up.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's, yes, that bird is henned up.
Because he can sneak on him, huh?
A henned up bird is he's going to fall victim to a reap.
Mm-hmm.
He's henned up. He is guarding his female.
Right.
Which means if you become a male turkey coming into his area, he's coming to you to fight you.
Yeah, for sure.
And he's going to die on his way.
Blast him.
And it is a game changer. It truly is. Mm-hmm. Your hunt was shot. If birds were henned up in the past,
right.
You'll call to them and they'll gobble back. They'll be on fire. And they won't get any closer.
Right.
And they'll just keep, they'll cut you off.
Right.
And just be hammering down and so fired up, but won't come.
Because
he's got a hen with him already.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you take Tommy's tail
mm-hmm.
and you reap him and you go to him with that tail.
and you just stay behind it the whole time.
It's hide behind it. I actually have a. It's a. There's a flex tone one that's called. I know what's the name of that thing.
It's like the half
the flex
turkey.
Tone.
I have that
one that we have. The no, it's not. Thunder Creeper. But it's like the perfect front profile of a turkey.
Is it designed for that?
It's got a post that when you flip it up into the, it's a handle.
Oh, okay.
So you're holding the handle, and as soon as you get close enough, and he now engages and is coming to you, you just fucking let the handle drop, let the handle drop down, yeah. And spike it in, and now you're right
surprise.
There.
Bang.
Have you ever done it with a bow?
It would be impossible. I don't know how you would draw the bow. You could do it with a crossbow.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking some sort of like...
Because you're like, you've got your gun in one hand and you're crawling on that knuckles.
Right, yeah.
And you've got this in this hand and you're kind of tripod.
Yeah, that would be tough. Turkeys don't let you get away with drawing a bow in the open like that, especially that close. But
yeah.
It's like, well, we've killed them without a blind with a bow on the ground, and it's fucking hard.
It's tough.
It is tough. You think like, how did it even see me? Like the hens will be around, they start getting weird. Like, I didn't even do anything. But it could just be like you didn't have a glove on and they saw something they didn't like and they're out of there. It's crazy.
I had a hen walk around my head one time about 2 feet from my head. I was laying in the brush line and I had crawled through the brush line and 3/4 of me was out into the field.
Right.
And I was just laying there with my head down in like a one of those, the mossy oak leafy suits.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, so I had texture to me and everything, and I was just laying there, and I watched her feet literally walk.
You could hear the turkey walking.
She was literally, her legs and feet were right here, and I was watching her walk around me in a half circle like that.
You're probably about ready for a
I just stayed dead still, and she kept walking, and the frickin' gobbler that was with her walked right by me.
Boom. Night.
You probably could have just grabbed him.
Oh, I could have grabbed her. Really? If I had just went, I could have grabbed her right by the foot.
It's like, step out here, she gets it. Ah! All right, there you go.
That's so dumb. He was trying to find a beard on her so he could
hold
get her.
Hold the hen hostage. That's insane. Dude, turkeys are weird, man.
Turkey hunting is, yeah. They're weird. Aggressive, man. They are. I mean, that's what they do. Fight, kick the shit out of everything, and... It's awesome. And well, boys,
that reaping thing—that's getting just as aggressive right back at them.
Yeah, that's like the perfect storm there for that too. Like you said, like you change the game. You're going to them, or they're coming to you. Really, you're meeting halfway.
It changed the whole game.
Yeah,
a henned up bird was always an issue. Mm-hmm. It was all you're not going to get a henned up bird to leave one hen to come looking for another hen. You're just not gonna. It's not gonna happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when. They're 100 yards away, and they are cutting you off every time you call, and they don't get any closer, and they just stay, or you'll hear them get a little bit closer, and then you'll literally hear them turn around, and their gobbling is shooting in the other direction, and you'll hear them get further away, and then they'll turn around, but they'll never come to you. Well, that's a reaper. That's a reaping bird right there.
That's why I shoot Jakes. They're a little bit dumber.
A little easier to get them on them. More gullible.
Very tender.
That's awesome.
That's funny.
Man.
I feel you.
I was going to say, you're the Steve of their crew. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Like Steve's the Steve of our crew.
Well, that's what he introduced him last night. He's like, I'm the fat, funny guy. I'm like, we have a fat, funny guy named Steve also, so you guys will get along.
You do stand-up comedy too?
No.
It's awesome.
Well, thanks, boys, for doing the podcast. Appreciate your time.
Well, we got one more question here that JC added in.
Fire off.
You want me to ask Steve, why are you here?
Oh, wait, which one?
Golly.
Nice. That one. All right.
Why are you here?
Damn.
Steve, why are you here?
It's tough out here.
Can y'all see the tear coming down my eye?
I have the answer for you, but I'm going to let you say it.
Well, I know. I mean, every show, in my opinion, needs that bigger guy that just takes the load.
You're the mule.
On that note, I'm going to say it was a pleasure to be here with you guys.
Oh my god!
We'll keep Steve around to take the load.
Take the abuse. I'm okay. I got big shoulders.
All right. Well, I think we'll just close her out there. All right.
Love you, Steve.
Why am I here?
Huh?
Why am I here?
Because we love you.
Oh, there it is.
All right. Well, thanks, fellas. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it, guys.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. You know what to do. Go shoot your bow. We love you.
As you probably noticed in the beginning of this episode, Steve said video podcast. That means this will air as a video podcast on Carving TV for season two, produced by Combination Creative. So if you like the audio episode and you'd like to see all the awkward stares and glances and laughters and weird moments that went on, check out Carbon TV. Look for our season two coming soon. I don't have a date exactly yet, but check it out, carbontv.com.